Welcome to the BritishBattles.com podcast on the Battle of Busaco. My name is John McKenzie. I am the editor of BritishBattles.com. I write the text for the entries in BritishBattles.com. I also select the illustrations and draft the maps under my nom de carte of John Fawkes. I would invite you to look at the site for the Battle of Busaco, where you will see a number of illustrations and my map of the battle. I hope you enjoy the podcast, and I invite you to send me your comments to info@britishbattles.com. The Battle of Busaco was fought on the 27th September 1810 in western central Portugal. The battle was fought between the British and Portuguese army of Lieutenant General Viscount Wellington, previously Sir Arthur Wellesley, and later the Duke of Wellington, and the French army of Marshal André Masséna, Prince of Essling and Duke of Rivoli, one of the marshals of the French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. In the battle, 50,000 British and Portuguese troops fought against 65,000 French troops. The orders of battle for each army are given on the British Battles website for the Battle of Busaco, with descriptions of the weapons and uniforms. On 15th August 1810, Marshal Ney's corps began the French invasion of Portugal by besieging the Portuguese fortress town of Almeida on the Spanish border. The garrison of Almeida comprised Portuguese regular and militia troops. Wellington's expectation was that Almeida would hold out for several months. The French bombardment of the town began on 20th August 1810. That evening, an exploding French shell lit a stray powder trail that caused the town's magazine to explode, destroying most of Almeida and killing many of the defending artillerymen. Almeida was forced to surrender within days, leaving the French free to begin the invasion of Portugal. In spite of this key advantage, Masséna did not begin his main advance until the 15th of September 1810. After some delay, during which Wellington was uncertain as to Masséna's intended route, the French army marched for the Portuguese town of Viseu on the northern road to Coimbra, the key Portuguese city in the west. Masséna thereby chose the worst of the roads available to him. The maps Masséna relied upon were highly misleading, and the advice he received from his Portuguese advisers was ill-informed. The southern route to Coimbra along the river Alva was more direct and paved, and would have saved the French considerable time and difficulty in their advance. Wellington resolved to give battle to the French in the area of Coimbra. Wellington's choice of battlefield was the ridge of the Serra de Busaco, 5 miles north of Coimbra. On 19th September 1810, Junot's infantry joined Ney's infantry at Viseu, his artillery coming up the next day after considerable difficulty with the ill-made road, which had to be reconstructed. On the 21st September 1810, Ney continued his advance south, reaching a point 10 miles short of the Serra de Busaco ridge. On 22nd September 1810, the French Second Corps took the lead, crossing the River Creese and driving in the British outposts. Ney halted while Reynier remained at Viseu. In the meantime, Wellington moved his headquarters to the Busaco convent, while his divisions assembled in the area of the intended battlefield. The one formation lacking was Hill's division. Wellington needed Ney to remain halted on the River Creese to give time for Hill to come up. Ney duly obliged, and Wellington's line of battle was completed. On 23rd September 1810, the British advanced guard lay at Mortago on the main road west of the River Creese. Hill lay opposite Pencova, 5 miles south of Busaco. Spencer's division lay at Milhada, on the main road to the west of Busaco. Leith's, Picton's and Cole's divisions were in position on the Serra de Busaco. In the afternoon of 23rd September 1810, Wellington withdrew his cavalry from its position on the lower ground. On the 25th September 1810, Crawford's Light Division marched down into the plain as the forward outpost confronting the advancing French. Crawford remained on the lower ground longer than was prudent, Wellington having to intervene to extract the Light Division and ensure its safe withdrawal onto the Serra de Busaco. The Serra de Busaco is a 9-mile-long ridge running south to north from the River Mondego, with the walled enclosure of the old ruined Busaco convent on the northern end. The sides of the Serra, covered in heather and strewn with rocks that make movement difficult, particularly for military units attempting to retain formation, are lined with ravines, most carrying mountain streams. Wellington's army occupied a series of positions along the top of the Serra, facing northeast, the direction from which the French army was advancing to the attack. A military track was quickly constructed the length of the Serra, behind the summit, to enable Wellington to move his regiments along the Serra, out of sight of the French. Wellington established his headquarters in the ruined convent. Three roads cut across the Serra de Busaco, broadly at the southern, central, and northern points, presenting the obvious routes for a French attack. Wellington positioned his troops in groups around the points where these three roads crossed the top of the Serra. Hill's division, with the Lusitanian Legion of Portuguese troops and two Portuguese brigades, held the right flank or southern end of the ridge. Leith's division held the gap on Hill's left. Picton's division held the ground covering the central road. The remainder of the army held the key ground around the Busaco convent and the northern paved road leading through the village of Sula. Inevitably, with such a long position, lengths of the ridge were unoccupied by Wellington's troops. But it was a reasonable assumption that the French would attack along one of the roads to retain their orientation during the difficult climb, and Wellington could move reinforcements unseen along the track behind the summit of the Serra. Late on 25th September 1810, Ney's corps moved forward and took over the area approaching Sula, while Reynier's corps moved south to a position opposite the central road. On 26th September 1810, Ney formed the view from movements along the crest of the ridge towards the northern end that the British were about to leave the Serra de Busaco. Ney urged Reynier to attack and overwhelm Wellington's right flank, which Ney took to be marching away to Reynier's right, while Ney attacked at Sula, enabling the French to inflict a heavy defeat on Wellington's army. The difficulty for Ney and Reynier was that from their positions in the valley, they could not see what Wellington's army was doing on the peak of the Serra, particularly as movements were made by way of the track built behind the summit. Massena came forward during the afternoon and issued his orders. These orders were based on the assumptions of Ney, Reynier and Massena that there were now no opposing troops on the Serra de Busaco further south than the central road. Reynier was to attack what was taken to be the British right by advancing up the central road, and once his corps was established on the crest of the Serra, to wheel to the north and roll up Wellington's line. Once Reynier's advance was well established on the Serra, Ney's 6th Corps was to attack the area of the Busaco convent at Sula by the two roads that passed the village. The 8th Corps was to remain at Mura on the River Mondego in reserve. After making these deployments, Massena returned to Mortago, some 7 miles from the next day's battlefield, where he spent the night. Massena's orders failed to take into account that Wellington's position extended the whole length of the Serra de Busaco, and that Hill's division was in position on the southern road. The French plan committed Reynier, after taking the crest of the ridge, to marching his corps north along the crest of the Serra de Busaco, with the whole of Hill's division still in his immediate rear. A misty dawn on 27th September 1810 saw Reynier's corps begin the assault on the Serra de Busaco. Merle's division of 11 battalions began the advance up the right side of the central road, while Hüdelet's division of 15 battalions marched up the central road itself to the rear of Merle. There were no French troops to the south of Hüdelet's division. On the previous evening, Wellington watched the movement of Reynier's corps and was ready for the attack up the central road, moving troops into the gap between Spencer's and Picton's divisions to meet the French column that would be advancing on the north side of the road. To increase his security, Picton dispatched the 88th Regiment to occupy the gap between his flank and Spencer's, followed by a further four companies of the 45th Regiment. As Merle's division advanced up the slope of the Serre, the initial fighting took place between Merle's battalions and Lightburn's brigade of Spencer's division and Wallace's 88th Regiment. Wellington rode up during the struggle and brought up two guns, with orders to fire on Merle's advancing column with grapeshot. Merle's men were forced to swerve to their left and make their way along the slope, fired on by the sharpshooters from Lightburn's brigade and the 88th. On Merle's left, Reynier's artillery opened fire on Picton's positions as the French 31st of the line led Hüdelet's division up the central road. Two Portuguese batteries fired on the French column, inflicting heavy casualties, but failing to halt the French advance. Finally, approaching the top of its climb, the French column came under volley fire from the British 74th and two Portuguese regiments, and its advance faltered. A strong force of British skirmishers from the light companies of Picton's division spread down the left flank of the French 31st. Hüdelet's division could make no further progress and fell back. It was now clear to Picton that the French assault was no longer a threat to his part of the line, and he concentrated on providing support for the troops holding the northern side of the central road. Colonel Wallace, seeing his attached companies of the 45th Regiment facing the whole weight of Merle's division, moved the 88th along the ridge and, discharging a volley, charged the French regiments climbing the slope. Wallace's 88th was heavily outnumbered, but its impetuous charge on the French infantry, exhausted after their arduous climb and with their regiments disordered, drove the French back. Watching from the summit, Wellington brought up guns to fire into the French, while the Portuguese 8th Regiment joined the attack. The French 36th gave way completely, and the whole of Merle's division was driven in confusion to the bottom of the hill, where Reynier's guns forced the pursuing British and Portuguese troops to halt and return to the top of the ridge. Picton came up to the scene of the attack on Merle's division to find that a party of French skirmishers was established on the ridge. Picton organised a counterattack on these skirmishers, who were driven off the ridge and joined the rout of the rest of Merle's division down the hillside. Foy's brigade of Reynier's corps was advancing up the lower part of the ridge to make its attack when Merle's shattered division came pouring past. Reynier spoke harsh words to Foy, accusing him of hanging back to avoid the burden of an attack. Enraged at the accusation, Foy led his brigade up the ridge, inclining to the north, as all the French attacks had tended to do. Foy's leading battalions gained the summit of the ridge and stood cheering, believing they had fulfilled their instructions. However, Lee marched up Barnes' brigade by way of the track constructed behind the crest and launched the 9th Regiment in a charge. The 9th seized the summit, and Foy's brigade was driven in confusion down the ridge by the 9th and 38th Regiments, Foy himself being shot in the arm. With the failure of these various attacks, Reynier's attempt to storm the ridge was decisively defeated, with three of his four brigades in a state of collapse. Hill's division of 11,000 men hurried along the crest of the ridge from the southern road and was ranged opposite Reynier, making any further French assault up the central road impossible. Around the Boussaco convent and the northern paved road, Ney's corps waited to attack once it was clear that Reynier was established on the ridge around the central road, It seemed clear that, at his distance, Ney was unable to distinguish the various levels of the Serra di Busaco ridge, and that he took the arrival of Renier's troops on one of the lower ridges as the successful capture of the crest. Ney consequently began his advance past the village of Sula towards the Busaco convent prematurely. Beneath the convent, Crawford's light division was positioned on a plateau, completely concealed from the French troops, laboriously climbing the ridge from below. The British 43rd Light Infantry was posted on the right, with the 52nd Light Infantry on the left, and the 1st Cassadores in reserve. The light companies of the light division, together with the whole of the 95th Rifles and the 3rd Cassadores, provided a powerful contingent of skirmishers, ready to fire on the French column as it toiled up the slope. A ravine divided the route up to Crawford's position from the southern side of the paved road, dividing Ney's two assaults and preventing mutual support. British and Portuguese guns stood at the head of the ravine, ready to fire on the attacking French columns. Loison's division of two brigades, Ferré's and Simon's, carried out the attack on the left side of the paved road leading to the light division plateau. Loison's brigades pushed back the skirmishers of the British light division with great difficulty and took the village of Sula. The French were now bombarded by Ross's battery, and the renewed attack of the light division's skirmishers, now reinforced by the whole of the 1st Cassadores. With considerable difficulty, Loison's columns pushed the skirmishers back and approached the lip of the plateau on which the 43rd and 52nd were concealed. Ross's battery ceased firing and pulled back. Crawford was watching the progress of the French column from the top of a boulder at the edge of the plateau. As the French column climbed up to the edge of the plateau, Crawford stood up and shouted for his two regiments to charge. The 43rd and 52nd rushed over the edge of the plateau and poured down on the French column toiling up the slope. The leading French ranks managed to discharge a volley before four companies, two from each British regiment, plunged into the front of the French column with the bayonet. The remaining 43rd and 52nd companies, having no part of the French column in front of them, curled around the flanks of the French column and discharged three volleys at close range. The whole of Loison's division broke in confusion and was driven back down the hill, suffering considerable casualties. Halting at the bottom of the slope, the 43rd and 52nd turned and climbed back to the plateau, the return journey taking half an hour against the 5 minutes of the frenzied charge. The casualties of the light division in routing Loison's division were 24 men killed, wounded or missing, against Loison's losses of more than 1,200 killed, wounded or missing. Marchand's division, advancing up the ridge on the south side of the paved northern road, emerged from the village of Moura. The leading brigade of Mokoun came under heavy fire from the guns posted at the head of the ravine, together with volleys from a battalion of Cassadores in the woods on their left. Mokoun's brigade pushed on up the ridge until they encountered Pack's Portuguese brigade, against whom they were unable to make any progress. Marchand's 2nd Brigade encountered heavy artillery fire on the road and halted. At this point, recognising that the French attack was failing, Ney called a halt and recalled his division. Masséna still had Junot's and Mermet's divisions of the 6th Corps uncommitted to the battle, but it was now clear that there were several British divisions on the crest of the ridge that had taken little or no part in the fighting, and that there was no realistic prospect of capturing the Serra di Busaco. At around 2 p.m., Masséna called off the French attack, and the Battle of Busaco came to an end. Total British and Portuguese casualties in the Battle of Busaco were 1,251 killed, wounded or missing, nearly equally divided between the two nationalities. The British regiments with the greatest number of casualties were the 45th Regiment, with 150 killed, wounded or missing, and the 88th Regiment, with 134 killed, wounded or missing. The French suffered at least 4,600 men, killed, wounded or missing. Four French generals were wounded, Merle, Foy, Simon and Mercoun, with General Grandorge killed. Masséna was not prepared to have his advance on Lisbon thwarted by Wellington's victory at Busaco. On 28 June 1810, French cavalry were dispatched to find a route around the Busaco position. These patrols, with information from local Portuguese, discovered the road to the northwest via Sardau to Boilvaux, on the north-south coastal road to Coimbra. Wellington directed Colonel Trant to block this road with his Portuguese militia, but Trant was unable to do so, possibly due to a lack of cooperation from his Portuguese superior. Once it became clear that Masséna would be able to march around his left flank, Wellington promptly continued his retreat, withdrawing his British and Portuguese army into Lisbon, behind the lines of Torres Vedras. The French were taken by surprise by the Torres Vedras fortifications. With no prospect of a successful attack on the lines, and reluctant to withdraw, Masséna allowed his troops to starve until 6 March 1811, when the French Army of Portugal began its retreat. Masséna reached Spain with his army in ruins. The French did not invade Portugal again. The British Military General Service Medal, 1848, was issued to all those serving in the British Army present at specified battles during the period 1793 to 1840, who were still alive in 1847 and applied for the medal. The medal was only issued to those entitled to one or more of the clasps. There were 21 clasps available for service in the Peninsular War. The Battle of Busaco was one of the clasps. The British regiments awarded the battle honour of Busaco are given on the British Battles website for the battle. The historian Fortescue states that the Battle of Busaco was a nasty jolt for Masséna. He discovered that the Portuguese troops, making up half Wellington's army, were, contrary to French expectations, highly effective troops. While campaigning in the peninsula, the French relied upon the maps of Tomás López. López was Spanish, and his information on his own country was reliable. When it came to mapping Portugal, López used his imagination and set out roads where he thought they ought to be. The result was that Masséna was unable to make a proper assessment of the suitable routes for his army. This error came near to destroying the French army. It is said that Masséna was delayed in acting on Ney's first report on the evening of 25 September 1810 because he was locked in his bedroom with his mistress, Madame Henriette Le Breton. Ney's aide-de-camp had to shout his message through the door. It was some 2 hours before Masséna was available to reconnoitre the ridge. After the attack by the 88th Connaught Rangers, Lord Wellington said to their colonel, "Wallace, I have never witnessed a more gallant charge." As the 52nd Light Infantry rose from the plateau to attack Loison's division, General Crawford is said to have called out, "Now, 52nd, revenge the death of Sir John Moore." Moore, killed at the Battle of Corunna, had been colonel of the 52nd Light Infantry. The two light infantry regiments gave a terrible shout and charged, driving Loison's division down the hill in confusion. That is the end of this podcast on the Battle of Busaco. I hope you have enjoyed it and thank you for listening. I would invite you to look at the British Battles website on the battle, where you will find pictures of the battle and images of the regiments that took part with a map of the battle.